go.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Journey into Comics with your hosts, Nate Phillips and Brandon Stone.
I am a god, you dull creature.
Ladies and gentlemen, it feels like it's been like 2 million motherfucking years, but Brando, we're back. How's it going, buddy?
It's going good, man. And in fact, I think it's only been 2 weeks.
Yeah, I know. 2 weeks later happens, as I always say. So, what's new in your neighborhood, Brando?
There's a lot of snow outside right now.
I know, man. I was down visiting Dad today. Hoopston got like 6 or 7 inches.
Yeah, that's about what we got.
And then we drove home and it was crystal clear, like there's no snow.
Yeah, like, you know, thankfully it's not like frigid, or it wasn't frigid today, so they were actually able to really clean up the roads a lot.
Dude, Tuesday it's supposed to be 40. Spring is on the way.
It is on the way, and I'm ready for it to be here.
Well, and with springtime, unfortunately, means that we're on the fast track of winding down to arguably one of the best shows on TV. Brando, you love it. I love it. We're talking about The Walking Dead. Did you see tonight's episode?
Oh, boy, I sure did.
Okay, I haven't yet, so no spoilers.
All right.
I'll be checking that out most likely after this podcast. So let's just get down to the dirty. Brando, where do you want to start? You want to talk about the show first? We can go with the comics?
You know, we can talk about the show first because the show is still technically behind the comics. You know, basically, the show kind of fast-tracked a little bit because I didn't want them to take this route, but I was expecting them to take the rest of the season to get to Alexandria, you know, and they didn't. They just, as soon as they introduced Aaron, it was like, boom, like the next episode.
I was jumping up and down very excitedly when Aaron made his debut because I knew. I was like, I know where this is going.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. And that's the only, that's one of the few times so far, and I say few as in probably only the only time, that I actually kind of regret knowing what's going to happen, or in another possibility of what's going to happen, because in the comics, you know, that's what happens. He shows up and then they go to Alexandria, and it's like, you know, I can understand if you're not familiar with the comic book storyline, you're like, okay, who is this guy? This guy is creepy. He's weird. We can't trust him. And I'm like, no, dude, I'm not even worried about this guy. It's like, because I know exactly where this is going. But at the same token, you know, I'm very excited because event-wise, there's not much going on. It just, I mean, yes, they did get to Alexandria, and that is a big event, but it's not like a big over-the-top, crazy, momentous occasion. It's like, oh, okay, we're here, you know. There's almost no, you know, pomp and circumstance for this arrival, for this introduction of this new character of this community. So, it is kind of boring a little bit, but I'm okay with it because it's taking a lull because the people who have read the comics know what's around the corner. If we're in Alexandria, then we know what's around the corner.
Yeah, and it seems the closer we get to this moment, I don't think they're trying to hide it anymore. I say that in part by, so there's a show called At Midnight. Chris Hardwick is the host. A couple weeks ago on the 11th of February, they did the Walking Dead edition of At Midnight, and they did a segment called Walking Dead Spoilers, and it was supposed to, the whole point of the show is to be funny, haha, and comic booky. So Walking Dead Spoilers, and you know, it's like, you know, the lady that plays Maggie was like, oh, Daryl Dixon dies, you know, of some sort of broken heart, or, you know, just being funny. And then it got to Robert Kirkman, who was one of the players in the game, and he goes, and I quote, "There will be a character named Negan who will be introduced into the show. He will bash Glenn's head in with a baseball bat, and the baseball bat's name is Lucille." And then just played it off like he didn't say anything, and the whole crowd was like, oh, what did he just say? You know, so either he was playing us or he's being for real. But another reason I make the assumption that he was being serious about that is Andrew Lincoln recently in a interview said that he would be very shocked if Negan wasn't, and I quote, right around the corner.
Oh, of course. I mean, and also, I don't know if you've read this, but they announced last week that the season finale for Walking Dead is going to be 90 minutes.
yeah, it's going to be a little bit longer. And Brando, kind of like what we've been talking about and throwing our... we're really good when it comes to guessing what might happen. I think we have a pretty fair track record when it comes to saying, hey, if it was my guess, I think we're going down this road. But the kind of the big thing also about the season finale is Daryl Dixon's in a lot of trouble.
Apparently that is the rumor, yeah.
So I don't know. Are we going to get my wish where we're finally done with the Daryl Dixon character and it's him that gets taken instead of Glenn?
You know what? I mean, it'd be kind of weird for them to just to tease that or for that to be the rumor and then for them to follow through with it. Because yeah. It would almost seem like anticlimactic. Yes, it is based off the comics, but they make drastically different decisions from the comics as well. In fact, they almost try to just do something entirely different while still keeping it along the same lines, while still maintaining key scenes, right? I mean, because, of course, at this point, and spoiler alert here for season 4, you know, when the governor attacks the prison, you know, and sees in the television show, you know, he kills Herschel. But in the comics, that's Tyrese in his place.
Tyrese, who we just wrapped up nicely in a little blanket and sent him down the river.
Yeah, you know, and somebody, you know, said that that was a weird episode, and I actually liked that episode a lot.
It was shot kind of weird. I thought the directing was a little bit different, but it told a really good story.
I'm okay with episodes like that, like we talked about in our Breaking Bad retrospective. I'm all for certain episodes taking a creative liberty and doing something different to tell a certain story. Like we mentioned how well the episode The Fly was shot, where that entire episode they're just worried about this damn fly. In this episode, it's more about being with inside Tyrese's head and his own doubts and his own just like his will to live.
Yeah, it's and like, his struggle with his final moments.
Yes, and I personally liked it. It's a bit slow paced, but I did like it.
Yeah, it was definitely good. So you brought up the comics. So here we are in season 5 of The Walking Dead. Well, me and you have a really good idea of what they're trying to accomplish. I will say last week's episode, when they finally said the A word, when they finally said Alexandria, it was...
Yeah.
It kind of took your breath away, just like, oh my, this is for real. They're not teasing it anymore.
Well, see, and as I said, I was just so surprised to see them pull up to the gates in that episode. I was so... Because in the episode, they're in the RV, and Abraham's like, we'll make it. And then, like, 2 seconds later, it's broken down. I'm like, oh, that's the end of the episode? I was going to be like, of course. And in a way, that would be a comical way to end it. But no, they just went right along with it. And the pacing in this show sometimes is very off because you'll get, like, a really big slowdown point where it takes them forever to get from point A to point B. And other times, they'll just cover hundreds of miles within, like, you know, 5 minutes. It's like the Dragon Ball Z effect where Namek is going to explode in, like, 10 minutes, but it takes 20 episodes to do so.
Exactly.
You know? Ugh. But the fact that they, yes, they said the words. My favorite part of that episode was Rick said previously that when we pulled up, you know, when we got to Woodbury, it was silent. When we got to Terminus, it was silent. He goes, if we pull up to this place and it's silent, I'm not sure if I want to bring my family in there. Or something along those lines. He would definitely be cautious about it. But, and Rick Grimes kind of has like this kind of like tight, not like the Eastwood squint, but it's almost like his brow is always like just constricted to be like, almost like Terminator mode. Like
De Niro eyes.
There you go. Yeah, something like that. And he pulls up and the camera just focuses on his eyes. And then he hears like people and children like laughing and playing. And his eyes instantly just kind of relax. And I loved that moment.
Yeah, it was very really surreal for him. It was humanity coming back. Something that he thought was long, long gone. For Rick Grimes to hear the children playing was just like... Like I said, it's very surreal to him. So
yes, and without spoilers, I really enjoyed what they explored in tonight's episode as well. And when you see it, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
Cool. I'm excited. I'm hoping that before we get on to season five, and we're going to kind of segue right into the comics now, I hope before we get on to season five, we do also get the introduction of Jesus. I think he is the Paul Monroe character, such a huge, pivotal character for the comics, and I think he'd make for great television. So,
if they're going to introduce him, they may wait until like season five. Yeah, but because there's only four episodes left.
Oh my gosh, we're almost to the end already.
Yeah, so jeez. I mean, there's a geez. Yeah, yes, geez may not be coming. he may not have a second coming in this season, but maybe they squeeze him in and introduce him in the finale. But I'm banking on probably they're gonna introduce him in the fifth season. That would be my guess.
You mean the sixth season?
Oh, six. Yes, you're right.
There we go.
Holy crap! This is
isn't that weird? We're already in season five of The Walking Dead.
This show is about ready to be older than Breaking Bad.
I know. That's weird. Very weird. So back to the comics, Brando. It's been a long time since we've talked to Walking Dead comics. A little bit of a fill-in. The Whisperers, one of their crew tries to myrtleize one of the members of the Hilltop, and luckily he survives with Jesus, and they get back to the Hilltop with a prisoner, Lydia. What do you think of Lydia?
I tell you what, man, she is... I don't trust her. And that's interesting, because I feel like she sort of like attached herself to Carl, because Carl's opened up to her. I kind of feel like that she is maybe at a struggle for what and who she wants to be.
Well, I mean, if she is what her Whisperer members say, she's the leader. You know, this girl who looks 16 or 17 is the leader of this group. Are you kidding me? And to top it off, she is in, you know, seduction mode. She's trying to seduce Carl Grimes, essentially, to have someone to go at bat against the Hilltop and say, no, she's good and her intentions are good and we just got to trust her and everything's going to be fine if we just trust this girl.
And see, and in a way, I also feel like the way that Carl has interacted with her, I kind of feel like that she has let her guard down a little bit with him.
I could also see that too.
Like, you know, like as you said, she's using him, but at the same time, maybe it's not like a full point of, I'm just going to use him and then throw him away. Maybe there's something there's something within him that she sees, you know, and that she might be attracted to.
So I want to throw a number your way real quick, and then we're going to keep on talking about Lydia here, but it just something I want to touch on right fast. Do you know what's been missing for 10 consecutive issues of The Walking Dead?
Oh, yes. There's been no Michonne.
There has been no Michonne, no Ezekiel, no mention. Yep.
No. Nothing. It's been focusing almost entirely on the new communities between the Hilltop and they still call it Alexandria, don't they?
Yeah, it's still, you know, Alexandria or the safe place.
They just completely overhauled Alexandria. And they kind of changed how it looks. That's kind of why, I mean, it has been a long time since I sat down and read. So when I started reading just recently, the last few issues, there wasn't really much mention of Alexandria. So I'm like, wait, do they still call it that?
Yeah, but I think that it just kind of is one of those, like I said, it goes without saying.
Right. Yeah. Okay. But then we also haven't seen we haven't seen anything of the kingdom at all.
None.
So it's definitely interesting because.
I'm guessing we're going to get a big story soon for the kingdom. I think they can only hold out for so long, you know?
Yeah, right. I mean,
if you look at good comics, I keep cutting you off. I don't mean to. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, I'm really ready for them to bring back Michonne for the story, because she's a character who's really changed and had a lot of growth throughout the entire her entire run for the series, and I'm ready to see what the next step is for her.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And, you know, with good comics, there's kind of this divide where you can have a main character, someone who matters, disappear for a while. And, you know, you write their backstory and their rhyme or reason, and their return is that much more important. I mean, there was a time where to have a second appearance of the Green Goblin was just nearly as important as a first appearance. Mm-hmm. So Michonne leaving the group for an extended period of time allows for a mysteriousness behind it, and then now everybody is ripe with anticipation. Where's Michonne? Now you get to play the role where, what if we can take Michonne's story and where she's been, go back to before the time jump right after they imprison Negan and build back to where we are now.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a huge amount of time that you take, you know, deviating from your current story to kind of wrap things up nicely. It's very television-esque is how they would do that, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I'm really excited to kind of see where they go next. Of course, a very, very spoilerific, because of an incident that happened at the Hilltop. There's this internal struggle about whether or not to oust Maggie out of power.
Well, oust her out of power or drug her to death.
Well, I mean, I don't know, man. I think he was trying to be Bill Cosby or something, but. Yeah,
with
I mean,
the
I don't
jello
know.
Pudding.
It wasn't pudding that she was eating, but
no,
no. You know, I don't know if she's dead yet. I really don't know if she's dead.
No, I think she's in a bad situation. And I think she may be in the process of maybe getting tortured. There's a lot of what ifs, man. Every time I think I can tell you exactly what's going to happen in the next issue of The Walking Dead, it's completely against what I thought was going to happen and completely blows my mind. So one thing I will tell you, apparently in the zombie apocalypse, like 16 or 17 year old girls get really weird, freaky things they like to do to other boys. And one of those things is lick eye holes.
Yeah, that was weird.
But Carl's about to get him some in the zombie apocalypse. Do we have a teen mom zombie edition coming on?
Oh, man, I don't know, but I could definitely see there being a zombie edition Maury, because you've got Sophia.
Oh, yeah, also true. Yeah.
And, you know, she's got a thing for Carl, and so...
Carl gets all the ladies, man, I'm telling
he
you.
He does.
Just get your eye blown out of your head, and you'll, you know, like, you know, light to flies, man. You know, I mean, I guess it's just for
I
Carl.
Did like how okay, there was a moment and I want to say it was in the last issue or the issue before. It's when the parents of the of the kids that Carl beat up for attacking Sophia, they're calling for basically Carl's head, or, you know, they want something done. And then Carl goes off on them in a Negan like phrase.
I'm dying over here. It's
oh man.
It's okay.
I think the zombie apocalypse may be starting.
No, I just can't take a drink of water.
That did you almost drown yourself?
Yeah, I did. Okay, I'm okay. Everybody, I'm alive. Continue on, Brando.
I was just saying that you know, Carl kind of came off very Negan-ish in a certain phrase that he said towards one of the parents. And I'm not sure if you remember that part or not.
I'm going to let you refresh my memory.
All right. Okay. Because I'm not really sure exactly phrase for phrase. But, oh, man. You are dying, man.
I'm okay. I'm okay. I just had to turn my volume down so you could talk, and I was going to cough so no one knew I coughed. And then when I was coughing, I realized that you could still hear me.
Yeah, I could still hear the cough.
So then you were like, whoa. But yeah, that wasn't coming through. So my fault, everybody.
Okay. I mean, yeah. It's all right. You can die if you need to.
Okay. Now back to what Carl said that was very Negan-esque.
Yeah, I got to try and find it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wait. I found it. Okay. Sweet. From 135.
Okay.
Okay. The dad of one of the boys that got beat up is basically calling for action against Carl, saying that he's dangerous. And Carl comes up to try and, like, defend. I was saving my friend, you know, and she would have died. And you want me to apologize for saving her? And he says, you fucking fuckwads can go fuck yourself.
That is very Negan-esque.
And so, I just I recalled to another prior issue where like he's been spending time with Negan and talking to him during his imprisonment.
I mean, half of his parenting has actually kind of been coming from Negan.
A little bit. Yeah, yeah. I mean,
behind the scenes.
Right. So that made me think instantly, like, all right, what exactly is Carl becoming through Negan's influence?
All right. So then my next question is, this is something my good buddy Anthony keeps kind of saying, and I agree with him. Do we see Carl actually become the bad guy?
The next villains or a potential future big villain?
I mean, he could be a big villain. He knows. I mean, come on. He's learned from the best. He's learned from Rick Grimes. And
yeah,
how
right.
gnarly would that showdown be? Like Rick versus Carl. One of them's going to die. You know, then who do you kill? You know, then where does the story go if you kill Rick? Well, where does the story go if you kill Carl?
Yep.
What if neither of them die? I mean, endless possibilities. But, you know, like I said, with Robert Kirkman, man, to sit here and try to guess what that guy's planning, I mean, you got a better chance of guessing the Powerball numbers.
Yeah, definitely. That show is very unpredictable. And not just the show, but the entire series. And someone's getting comfy.
No, I'm great. I just lost my phone, and I was trying to I was trying to find the list to see what we're talking about. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you gotta,
oh, okay.
Trying to
I do
stay
believe.
Pro.
I do believe that after Walking Dead and after we finished that up, we were going to go into the Flaro spinoff, which I honestly do not know much about. So I was going to let you handle that.
Lucky for you, I know quite a bit about it. So as I've continued to kind of drive the point home, Brando, you desperately need to watch Arrow and Flash. And actually, a little cross-promotion time. Our good friends over at the Mad Scientist Party Hour invited me to be a contributor full-time for the Mad Scientist Party Hour blog, which you can find that at pumanati.wordpress.com. And my first article was actually why you should watch The Flash and Arrow, and my you know, bullet points review of what's going to sell people on the show. It was the hard sell of what I think, you know, makes these shows so great. So go there, check that out. And then let's talk right now about what's going on in The Flash and the Arrowverse. We know that they're on a little bit of a hiatus right now. We aren't going to get new episodes till March 17th. Where The Flash will return, and then the 18th Arrow will return. Now, this week, CW and DC Comics made the announcement that they are planning to do a spinoff show featuring characters from both Flash and Arrow. So Brandon Routh, who plays Ray Palmer, a.k.a. Adam, or The Adam, in Arrow, is going to be in the spinoff show, as is Martin Stein, the one half of Firestorm. The Sarah Lance character is not going to be in the show necessarily, but the chick that played Sarah Lance in Arrow is going to be, so we aren't sure if we're getting the Canary, if it's going to be a flashback story. We're really not sure how that's all going to go down, but we do know that they are introducing three new major players from the DC Universe on this TV show that have never been on TV before. And that has me very excited. Will we see Martian Manhunter? Are we going to see a new adaptation of Green Lantern for television? What if we get Batman? You just don't know. There are so many different outlets and opportunities that these shows can go that it's very exciting. And there's so much they're building towards. Right now, Flash is building us to a crescendo of the purpose of Dr. Wells, what his intentions are. We're getting ready to hopefully for our first time go into time travel, which will be very exciting to experience the time travel, to learn about Speed Force and how that works. We're continuing to build towards the full-on opus of the Gorilla Grodd character, finding out who the Reverse Flash or Reverse Flashes happen to be. And then in Arrow, on the other hand, we've got a lot of, you know, what's going on in Andapar Bhatt, what is Oliver going to choose with the offer that Ra's al Ghul has given him? What's going to happen to Malcolm Merlyn and or John Diggle, for that matter? Thea has just essentially signed her death wish with Nyssa. Will Nyssa kill her? We don't know. It's the arrow is just getting so much better, and you think that it can only be so good. You know, TV can only do so many things, and this is very much like The Walking Dead keeps proving me wrong. These shows, they evolve and they change and they draw you deeper into the characters, and you're getting more, you attach yourself to different parts of these characters that you fall and see parts of yourself in, and you relate to those characters. So these shows hook you, and they drive these really smart, intelligent, well thought out stories. We are finally getting writing where they don't think us comic book fans are dumb and they have to write down to us. They're writing for the most intelligent kind of television viewers, and that's huge. If we can get that kind of writing on this Arrow Flash, they don't know, they're going to call it All Stars or the Justice Society. You know, they can't call it the Justice League. That's out of the question. But there are tons of other team names that they can pull from. They can't obviously pull from Teen Titans because, one, most of those people aren't teens, and two, that show's going to be on TNT in the near future here. So with that being said, I think we're done covering the CW Flash and Arrow stuff. I am now going to tag my tag team partner in. Brando, what's going on in this Game of Thrones world?
Okay, so Game of Thrones is coming back. And it's going to be coming back pretty much a few weeks after The Walking Dead is up. It's going to be airing on April 12th. And pretty much we know only a few things about this season because they are very secretive about this show. And see, the really cool thing about this is that, okay, they're starting to run out of books to adapt for the show because there's supposed to be 7 books and we're entering the 5th season. But the way that they've adapted them, the last book, the 5th book, because I think Martin is working on the 6th book, is the 5th book is pretty much the 5th season. So after this, they actually have been given permission to go their entire own way with the series.
Whoa.
So they're already moving away from the book. And they proved that and they've done that a lot, but one of the big steps for moving away from the book was the ending of season 4, which I'm not going to spoil because a certain co-host of mine has not seen it.
Hey, we'll do the trade-off. I'll finish Game of Thrones as soon as you finish Arrow and the Flash.
Hey, buddy. As soon as I get done with House of Cards, I'll get right on that.
I'm watching House of Cards 2 now, thanks to you.
Oh, well, you're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome, dick.
Okay, so, but that, yeah, that lack of, or that, it's not really a lack of books to adapt, but it, to me, that's more of an open freedom because now they can do their own like alternate story, their own story at, you know, the two main producers of the show, they know how the whole story ends or like at least the overview. Now it's up to them on how they want to interpret that or if they want to go that direction. But then Martin can then still do his story that he's been doing since the mid 90s. And pretty much there's been a trailer and the trailer gives you just enough information to know what you already sort of could have predicted. the last two episodes actually went to IMAX and did fairly well. They did fairly well. They put the two episodes together as sort of like a movie, and then they ended it with a trailer for season 5. And I heard that it did pretty well in IMAX.
Sweet.
And I'm stoked. See, and the thing is that I'm jumping into the Game of Thrones thing pretty late. So now I'm gonna actually know what it feels like to have to wait a week.
That's the worst, best feeling though. You know, when you aren't on the roller coaster that's happening and you catch up to the roller coaster, and then when you have to wait for the roller coaster to start over,
mm-hmm.
and you're just like, oh my god, like. especially with what happened, like I said, with Flash and the Arrow, they're off. They had a mid-season, you know, and they did that. They're kind of the way CW likes to market. They're going to bring Arrow and the Flash back with two really huge, high-impact episodes the same week that the new CW show iZombie premieres, so that iZombie will get people to watch it as well. You know, hey, there's new Flash. Hey, there's new Arrow. Hey, we're going to be running iZombie and then a rerun of iZombie the next night, so you really get a chance to check this show out. We think you're going to like it, you know. And it's about a comic book as well, and to be quite honest, I will probably give it a chance. You know, I don't know much about the show, but, you know, never know. Maybe they'll impress me.
Yeah, and one cool thing that Game of Thrones did is that they signed all of their actors to enough of a deal to finish off the series, I do believe. I believe everyone signed through the sixth season. I think – I'm not sure if they're doing seven seasons. I know for a fact they're doing six, but they signed them on. They signed them to the full deal, even if they die. Even if their characters die, they're still going to get what they agreed to. Pretty much this locks in all those characters for them to be able to use them however they see fit. Because, I mean, when you really get to it, man, it's going to suck. It would really suck if you lost one of your main guys and you had to recast them, you know?
With like half a season left to film. Yeah.
And this series has recasted a few people in the past. There's been one character, I think he's been recasted twice, but he's not a character that like you really notice too much.
Okay.
And then there is one character who they introduced him, and then in the next season he was recast, and then you definitely noticed that, but then the original actor wasn't around long enough to really give you an impression. Like, they pretty much introduced him, then they went forward, and then when they really started to develop the character, they did it with a new actor. So, there's a trade-off there. I was like, oh, man, they recasted him. And then I just found myself not caring because now, instead of, like, having this new actor fit into a character that's already been established, he gets to be the actor that really establishes the character.
Sweet. Yeah, I will Scout's Honor. I'll catch up to Game of Thrones. It'll happen.
Oh, dude, it's cool. I tell you what, man, life happens. It's not easy to sit down and watch all this stuff and work and do all of our other hobbies as well. So
that's very true. You're very, very correct about that one. So I got a question. We had a few big, you know, we do actually talk and spend a lot of time on the, you know, big screen and talking about movies. So we know Spidey's coming back. We called that one.
Boom.
You heard it here, folks. We're the best. Not to brag. Now, Brandon, my question is, who do you think is going to be Spider-Man? Are we going to get Parker? Are we going to get Miles Morales? What's the what do you think the game plan is here if you're Marvel? There's a lot riding on this Spider-Man.
Okay. See, there was an article a while ago that somebody said, and I believe, was it Jeff Snyder? Snyder? I'm not sure how you say his name. But he insisted Spider-Man's not going to be white. But the decision's not set in stone. He proclaimed he's 95% sure. Now, what does that mean? That means that we are probably not going to see a third version of Peter Parker. Therefore, if you're really going to look into that, then the next logical step would be Miles. If he's saying that.
You're not going to do a Miguel O'Hara because Spider-Man 2099, it doesn't add up. So when you say that the most logical step is Miles Morales. I mean.
Yeah, well, I mean that, and plus Miles is really relevant right now.
Yeah, I mean, he's on a roll in the comics. He's in all new X-Men. He's got his own series. He's been in Uncanny X-Men. He's been in the Avengers. Almost every major book Marvel's doing, he's somehow been a part of. I think he was also like temporarily a part of Guardians. Like, he was in an issue or two. So maybe not. Whatever. Anyways, I agree. I think Miles is the logical step. He is a kick-ass character, and his origin to Parker is similar. You have to, you can just brush on it super quick. You don't have to spend 30 minutes babbling on and on and on about, oh my god, he got bit by a radioactive spider. He learned he had spider power. Stuff got stuck to him. He didn't want to get stuck to him. You know, like, because that's in every Spider-Man movie. You know, oh shit, he grabbed the sink. The whole sink came off the wall. What's he going to do? But the other thing that's nice is Miles Morales is young.
Yeah.
He's a younger character. Not only in the Marvel comic universe, his character is drawn as a younger guy with similar problems. And then the really, really nice thing is you could actually introduce Miles Morales, continuously allude to Peter Parker, and it would be 100% logical and canon to then introduce a second Spider-Man who is, in fact, already Peter Parker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was sort of kind of going under the notion of they've already done two different film versions of Peter Parker, and this is going to allow them to kind of freshen up the Spider-Man feel and character. It's going to allow them to do something new while bringing this, you know, the iconic spider back into the fold. But if they did Parker, this would be the third time in like 10 years.
Yep.
That you would have a Peter Parker Spider-Man, a different Peter Parker, you know, to me, that's just a bit much. And I would be welcome to a Miles Morales Spider-Man.
Donald Glover for Miles Morales.
You sounded almost drunk when you said that.
My words did not come out of my mouth as clearly as I was hoping them to. I was trying to say, damn it, Donald Glover for Miles. See, it happened again there. Donald Glover for Miles Morales would be awesome. I think the Gambino would make a great Miles. He already plays Miles Morales in the cartoons, so just put him on the big screen. Fuck it. Let's do it.
Donald Glover from Miles Morales.
Yep. The slow edition.
Now, okay. Now, how about Danny Glover?
Oh, Danny Glover? Really old Miles Morales?
I'm too old for this.
You know what's crazy? You could actually have Danny Glover play Miles' dad, and that he, a little bit of a comic book spoiler, he kind of has a major role in the comic books right now because it's been revealed that Miles Morales' father was an undercover agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. in, like, the 80s.
Ooh.
So that would be interesting, and that'd be cool to introduce Glover to the universe.
And his partner, his S.H.I.E.L.D. partner could be Mel Gibson.
God damn it. I knew you were going to say that, too. Oh, Lethal Weapon. Awesome. Awesome, awesome. So on the other side, Brandon, DC had some pretty craziness happen since we've been on our break.
Yes, dude. Well, they didn't really announce, but I think it was the director. Was it Snyder?
Zack Snyder. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. He tweeted a picture of Jason Momoa from Game of Thrones. He played Khal Drogo, in full garb for Aquaman.
Looks sick as fuck.
It does not keep any conventional look of Iron Man. Iron Man. Wow. Okay. Now my words fail me. Of Aquaman, and I love it. I absolutely love it. Anybody who I've said, when they say, well, if they're doing a Justice League, who's going to be in it? And I said, Aquaman. And they said, what the hell is he going to do? And I'm like, he's going to be badass. And they're like, why? And I said, because they've got Jason Momoa playing him. And I'm pretty sure Jason's agent would not allow him to be cast as a conventional Iron Man. Not after his other
role. You did it again.
Aquaman.
What the fuck?
Dude, he could kill Stark and become the Iron Aquaman.
Oh my god, what? Oh, dude, you're killing me over here, Smalls. Jason Momoa is the Iron Aquaman. He looked like a mythological god.
Yes, and okay. I was
Poseidon.
Thinking of, yeah, Poseidon.
God damn!
I was thinking the exact same thing there, and But also, it also looks like Khal Drogo just has a trident.
Okay, yeah, I also saw that too. To be brutally honest.
I mean, because he does look the same, but that's okay because I feel like that's really going to change up the character of Aquaman. Aquaman. I feel like it's really going to change up that character and really freshen it up to just kind of get away of the old stigma of what that character is. And when you see this character on screen, I think it's really going to come off as great.
I agree. And his agent wouldn't let him be cast as a conventional Iron Man. But what you meant to say is a conventional, boring, Aquaman. Pussy Aquaman. Because the conventional Aquaman, people have a lot of negative stigma. The Justice Friends show in the 70s puts this weird, very homoerotic spin on Aquaman, who all he can do is talk to dolphins.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
Yes. That was awesome. Damn it, you threw me off. No, but dude, he looks great. I'm excited to see this Unite the Seven campaign. Mm-hmm. They've only announced four of the seven. Well, five of the seven, actually. Because they've announced Cyborg, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Batman, and Superman. So that's five of the seven. Who are the other two? Are you going to say Flash and Green Lantern?
I almost thought you were going to say Green Arrow. they're in TV shows right now. But no, I would like to see a Flash or a Lantern show up. See, and then of course they're going to keep that separate. And while I understand that, it kind of sucks. But I want to see a real good version of Lantern done on the big screen, just like I would like to see a good version of all these characters done. I mean, because we've only seen Batman. We've had the Superman films, but I don't think Superman has been done as good as he could be done.
I think Cavill's on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just see where he develops. I can already tell you without hearing a line of dialogue that Jason Momoa has won as Aquaman. I am ready to see him in his own solo film. And like I said, he hasn't spoke a line of dialogue or done anything whatsoever.
See, I kind of feel like he's going to be like the Thor of the Justice League.
Okay, I can see that. Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I just get that feeling that
he kind of is, you know, he's got his own mythological place that he lives in where he's the king of, or, you know, trying to become the king. You know, the other people don't really go there or don't have access to just go there freely.
No.
And he always shows up, you know, when they need him most.
His daughter Ariel is always trying to defy him and go be with that.
good one.
He has to deal with singing crabs. And he's all up there. They're doing with Lex Luthor. Like, what are we going to do? The planet's at risk. He goes, you think this is bad? try singing crabs. They're going to be like, what?
They have a totally different image. Bruce flashes back to one night in college. He's just like, oh, God, no, not again. And they sing? Holy shit. You know? No, not those crabs, Bruce. Not those crabs.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Flashbacks.
I got the wrong idea. My fault.
I wonder what if Affleck's going to do just a kind of a Keaton-like voice where he just kind of drops it down a few tones.
I don't know. You know, it's interesting. I think that Affleck's going to have his own very unique style of Batman. He's not going to be mimicking a certain preordained or predestined kind of voice. He's not going to go full Christian Bale. He's not going to necessarily do dark Keaton. He might have a whole different way of making his voice mask, whether it's through a technology modulator that makes his voice sound a little bit different, you know, and where they put an effect on it or something. But they can go a whole bunch of different ways, and they can keep, you know, him having his own original origin of the voice, you know, because that is kind of an important part of the character now.
Well, of course. We'll see. Yeah. And the Nolan films really kind of overdid it, in my opinion. It works, but especially in The Dark Knight, it was really heavy on like the modulation and like kind of the distortion along with his gruffiness. Because when you go back and you watch some of the original films from the 90s, they just kind of dropped their tone a little bit. And then same with Kevin Conroy. You know, he's done the Batman voice for over 20 years.
He is Batman.
No, he is. Yes. To me, that is the you know, the Batman voice for me. But what I love about that is that he just kind of drops his voice down a few tones. But then when he's playing Bruce, he always brings his voice up. It's almost like higher than his normal voice. So that's always fun. And I'm really excited because there are a lot of people who rolled their eyes and groaned when Affleck got announced for the casting. And he wasn't my first pick. In fact, I don't even think he was on my list at all. But I'm really excited to see what they do with it.
I totally agree with you. I guess we're going to have to get it over with sometime. Nothing too exciting to talk about, but that's life, and sometimes we all got to do it. So it's pretty obvious if you've listened to this podcast, we are in tune with the nerd world, and if you are listening to this podcast and you don't know this news, we do regret to inform you that Leonard Nimoy, the actor who played Spock, did pass away at the age of 83 this week. Thoughts and prayers go to his family, obviously. Brando, it really sucks to lose one of these legends, you know?
Yes. Of course, he was, 82? And he had a kind of a bad condition for a while. And he battled with that. And it was, you know, I remember hearing that he went taken to the hospital. But I mean, even though it's like, you know, that you're like, oh, well, hopefully he'll be okay. And then of course it turns out that they find him, deceased. And it is really sad because when you think of Star Trek, he's one of the first few people you think of.
I mean, you know? Absolutely. Live long and prosper.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, his symbol, his mannerisms. And I know that he tried to get away from that for a while. In his career, he tried to distance himself from that. And I get that and I respect that, because when you have something that has dominated your life and that's not what defines you, I can see, like, as an artist, you want to, like, try to separate yourself from it to try and prove to other people that that's not all you are. But I'm really glad that, you know, after a while he came back and he embraced exactly what that was to him and allowed himself to be fully, to be Spock. He is Spock.
I mean, for Christ's sake, he made the cameo appearance in the new Star Trek movies.
And they were amazing. I mean, especially in the first one where he was really sequential to the plot. I mean, that's amazing. I like the kid that plays the new Spock
a lot. Zach Quinto, I think?
Yep. And, I like him a lot. I think he really does a good job of kind of capturing some of those mannerisms. You can definitely see that as like a younger Spock, but he does his own thing with it as well, and that's good. But it is very sad that Leonard Nimoy passed away. He also was a director. He was an accomplished director, and of course, he directed some of the Star Trek films as well, or at least one of them. I want to say him and Shatner. Traded films. I think they took turns on a couple of those early like Star Trek films. And I want to say there was one big comedy that he did. And I want to double check on IMDb to be completely and utterly unprofessional here, because I don't want to get this wrong.
No need to get it wrong.
Leonard Nimoy, because I want to say that he did a pretty big comedy way back when, and I say that now is like that it was way back when, but it was, and I was correct. In 1987, he directed Three Men and a Baby.
Oh, wow.
Huh. And he directed Star Trek III, The Search for Spock in 84, and also Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home.
Fitting two final titles that he directed.
Well, he did some other stuff throughout the years, but those three are sort of the big ones that I'm seeing. I don't really recognize the names based on what they are. But, of course, as an actor, he's been in so many different things other than Star Trek. A lot of times appearing as himself, like, of course, in Futurama, he was a big guest star on there a couple times.
Guest star on The Simpsons.
Yep, on The Simpsons, and as of course in Star Trek, as in multiple different times of Star Trek, he, you know, he appeared in the Next Generation series as Spock.
Yep,
and did a really cool two-parter in there that was just kind of mind-blowing to me. That's that storyline really got me into that. And of course, he was in Transformers.
Yep.
Dark of the Moon as a Sentinel Prime. I'm just kind of going through here this last few things he did. And he was actually in the Kingdom Hearts series.
Really?
As Master Xehanort.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so I remember playing Birth by Sleep and going, wow, okay, who is this guy? that sounds like Leonard Nimoy. And I looked him up and it was.
Excellent. But,
not to be a downer on this, but when I... when I was on the website that gave me the article for the Miles Morales, I saw something to the side that had to do with Nimoy, and I knew we were talking about him today. The Westboro Baptist Church announces intends to picket Nimoy's funeral.
Fuck those stupid fucking cunts, seriously.
You know, I don't know. You know, it just, okay. I'm for religious freedom, and I don't want to really bog down a podcast supposed to be about fun and entertainment and comics and movies, games, anything like that. And I don't want to bog it down with any political or religious rhetoric. But I'm for everybody having their own freedom. But I don't understand these guys and the way that they want to go picket all these people that did such good in their lives.
Well, because they're just trying to get more publicity for themselves, and they're hoping that someone will lash out and hit them so that they can sue and make money. It's all just a scam. Ultimately, all the religious bullshit is just a scam. I mean, they're just such a prime example of that. They're, you know, trying to manipulate the system in a society that's very driven by emotions. I mean, it's hard to be an emotionless human, and if someone... you know, you loved or cared about, whether they were a soldier who fought in the war or a family member or some celebrity, you know, the Westboro Baptist Church going and, you know, picket this and do that. It's just, it's so fucking dumb. It's like you could do so many greater things in this world if you just use that negative energy for something positive, you know?
You know, there's negativity across, you know, and not just in one thing. It's in a lot of things. There's another... new story that, as far as like just using negative press, right? And this was intended to definitely to do that. There was a different topic altogether from Leonard Nimoy, but an up and coming metal band from Indiana named Nuclear Hellfrost. They released a statement. Well, okay, first off, they I'm not sure if this was on their Twitter or some sort of social media. They announced they allegedly defaced the grave of metal guitarist Dimebag Darrell, and with the post saying "I hate Pantera with a passion, and so does the rest of my band. So on tour going through Texas, we decided to pay douchebag Darrell a visit. We spit on his grave, stole a pair of cowboy boots, and I wrote fag on his grave."
People fucking suck.
Now, you can bet there was a huge backlash against these guys. And apparently one guy from the band, the singer, has come out and said it was just him. He's taking full responsibility for it. And that he didn't defile the grave. He wrote it on a piece of paper and put it on there. And the paper looks like it was cut like a razor blade or of some sort. And put on the razorback. And if you look at the grave of the way it's supposed to be, that definitely is not there. So it doesn't look like just from that picture that they actually did it. But still, it's ridiculous. If you think that is going to get anybody to want to check you out, like that band just shot themselves in the foot.
Yeah, and I knew about this article. Apparently that lead singer's been getting like crazy amounts of death threats and stuff.
And I'm not saying that that's right, but...
Well, no, that it's not right. I mean, obviously, but it's just the, you know, the like you said, the negative backlash is so strong.
Yes.
That was like the dumbest move you could do.
You know, and I kind of feel that the, you know, with the Westboro Baptist Church thing as well, it's like they always try to say, hey, we're going to do this. And it comes off to everyone as negative, and nobody reacts to that in a positive manner. You know, it just, you know, even like people who are of faith, you know, that I know have told me, man, they give people of faith a bad name. You know, if there are any sort of religious extremism in America, that's them, you know?
No, you're correct.
And it just, to me, it's like a waste of time. It's a waste of time, and it's very disrespectful to someone like Nimoy, to someone, to anyone that they want to do this for, to, you know, soldiers returning from combat who, you know, unfortunately passed away, didn't make it. Even if I don't agree with the politics of such, you know, where's the respect for them and doing what they were paid to do, doing what they wanted to do, and then also to their families that they felt, you know, I have no patience or sympathy for anybody who wants to be that disrespectful.
Speaking of disrespect, Brandon, let's just sum it up real quick. White or gold or black or blue? We're not spending a lot of time on this topic. Let's go. White or blue, black or gold? Or black or blue, white or gold?
All right, see, now you see, I don't know if the Iron Aquaman would be down for that, but to me, the dress is blue.
Okay, moving on. Next topic. We're talking about...
No. Because, okay, when this whole thing started, okay, it's been blue for me the whole time. And only a few people I know actually see it as white. And I'm not going to argue as to why it's white or blue. But the only thing that I said is that there needs to be a meme on Facebook where Jim Carrey said that's saying, the dress is blue. The goddamn dress is blue.
I think I saw that. It is
a meme. And then it happened like the next day. And I was like, finally... I wanted to see that so bad. And then I also saw Stark and Captain America disagreeing, and that's what causes the Civil War.
So did you know Tommy from the Power Rangers?
Mm-hmm.
This is relevant, I promise.
Yep.
Did you know he went from the Green Ranger to the Black and Blue Ranger?
He was also the White Ranger.
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, because it was white and gold.
Dude, he's just all about changing colors, isn't he?
Right, yeah. Okay, anyways, Brandon, because I don't give a damn about that fucking dress. I saw white and gold, but let's continue. There was a pilot that you directed me towards. I didn't know anything about it, and then you said, hey, we need to talk about this, and I was like, what the fuck? I don't know anything about it. How can I talk about it? Better watch it. So I went and watched it. Let me tell you this. This is what I know. Okay, here we go. This thing is called Dragon Ball Z Light of Hope. Okay? It's taking place in the Android Saga, if you were following the anime Dragon Ball Z, around the time that 1718 arrived at Earth, the early battles with Gohan and Vegeta. Or not Vegeta, Trunks. My fault.
Yeah. This actually follows the alternate future. For when all the heroes die, like Goku dies of his from his heart disease, and then no one is prepared for these androids, and when they show up, all of the big heroes go to fight them, and then they eventually meet their end, leaving only Gohan and young Trunks left to fight them. So this is a fan made film or series, I guess you could say. It is a series. It is live action, and it is pretty much what Dragon Ball Z the anime could and should have been in live action. And they got that part right. The acting in some parts is a little off. They're not the best actors in the world, but I am willing to forgive that 100%, because watching that was absolutely amazing.
It was. It stayed really close to the source material. It mm-hmm. wasn't a Hollywood wank off of Dragon Ball Z. I mean, I didn't see the Dragon Ball movie that came out a few years ago.
Oh, dude, that would be awesome for us to riff on that.
But I heard it was terrible.
It is.
I mean, I've never seen it, so maybe that's something we do someday. We sit down, we talk shit on this horrible movie. But this series is not horrible. If you've not watched it, go to YouTube. Dragon Ball Z Light of Hope. It's really fucking cool to watch. Like you said, the acting's a little bit stale, but I tell you, they got it right because they're taking the source material seriously.
Yes.
They're not tweaking it for Hollywood to make it work to appeal to the masses. They're appealing to the people that fucking love Dragon Ball Z, and that's what's important.
The thing that shocked me was just how well it looked and how well it came off. Like, it didn't come off as a second-rate fan thing, you know? It came off as like it had a budget to me. Like, maybe not as much of a budget as they would have got from a big studio, but to me that also comes with that less demands from those studios to make sure it hits certain marks for the audience. They're able to then keep it sort of streamlined with what the source material is, and then go from there.
So to continue on with television related shows that are getting internet reboots, another 15-minute movie premiered this past week, and it's very controversial. Mm-hmm. You've had members of the actual television show saying various different things of what they think. I've heard extreme positives from some saying it's super dark and gritty and that they love that take on it, while others said, hey, this is supposed to be a kid's show and you're appealing to the wrong audience, which I thought was actually not the right thing to say. So what I'm actually talking about, Brando, is the Power Rangers fan trailer video movie.
It's one of those.
That premiered. Walk me through it. I have now watched it, and I have some things to say, but I want to get your take on it for sure.
Okay, you know, basically this is a fan-made film. You know, kind of like, and as you said, it is a dark and really gritty, a rated R. Like, what if the Power Rangers were rated R? So it's pretty violent. There's a lot of cursing, and pretty much the storyline takes place with the Machine Empire taking over the planet. Which, if anybody who watched Power Rangers at all have any sort of recollection, the Machine Empire was the Zeo. Yeah, it was a Zeo.
Correct. Series.
And so that's when the series could take place. It, I guess, it has something to do with the destruction of the Power Rangers, and there's only a few of them left. They pretty much hit all of the old key characters, such as, you know, Tommy, Kimberly, Jason, Zach, Trini, Billy. They even throw in Rocky, and he betrayed the Power Rangers. And Rocky in this, I want to say, is being portrayed by James Vanderbeek.
Yeah, correct.
And so, yes, Jason David Frank, who played the Green Ranger and who has been associated with Power Rangers for many years now, he came out and said he really didn't like it because it strayed away from what the series is. And I kind of agree with him. I do think that maybe this going this far, it doesn't need to go that far.
Yeah, I mean, they said motherfucker a bunch in that.
And there was a lot of excessive violence and drug use. I think you can have a heavier Power Ranger themed movie or film without the over excess. I think there is such a thing as like too much, and I think that this was a little too much. It was entertaining. It was really entertaining to watch because I'm an old school Power Ranger fan because I grew up on that back in the day. And it was really neat to see them sort of – it was marketed towards people like me, people like you, us who grew up with that era and who are older now and are more mature. But I do think that since Power Rangers have gone on for so many years and it's still going, that you do need to kind of mass market this thing. I think you can – it can have its kid appeal just like a superhero film can – like the Avengers – I think if it was done like in the Avengers style, it'd be fantastic. Something that, you know, you could take your family to. That's a PG-13, and I think it would come off tremendously. But
well, actually, something like this exists, Brando, and I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but there is a Kickstarter for another different take on the Power Rangers called MMPR for Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. It's pilot episode test stuff is up, so you can see like some designs and some videos that they've kind of released. Now, I don't know what happened because it seemed like it was full steam ahead, and I was actually kind of expecting that it would already be out by now, but it still isn't out, so I don't know if they killed the project. But when I had checked it out last year, it looked really great, and I think it's kind of exactly what you're describing, a nice moderate PG-13-esque show And actually, the main villain they are using for MMPR is actually Zed. And the guy who voiced Zed is coming back for Zed.
That's cool. That's awesome. I do know that, was it Saban? Saban?
Yeah.
The guys that owned it, they're the guys that got this Power Ranger video taken down. It was taken down until like today. And now the original video and a edited video that kind of take out some of the more harsher things, they're up. Because they were taken down off of YouTube and Vimeo because they didn't co-align with what Saban wants that property to be. They're very protective of it, and I understand because they have a brand. That would be like if you or I spearheaded a project to do a really dark, gritty take on Mickey Mouse, and Disney's like, no, you can't do that.
I just imagine Mickey Mouse's fucking Scarface, you know?
Hey, say hello to the bad guy.
Hey, say hello to the bad guy,
Yeah.
I'm going to smoke some meth, Look at this coke, Minnie, get in here, you bitch,
Yeah, so if we were going to do that, there would be several things we'd have to jump through to even get that project to see the light of day.
I got a question.
What's that?
How do you get a scar eating pussy like that, eating pussy, You know? Oh, fuck. That's awesome. All right, so we're moving right along. Brando, real quick. There are 35 amiibos that will be out for the Smash Brothers. There are currently 29. We have them all.
You have every single one?
Yep.
And how difficult slash fun has that been for you?
Pretty easy, actually. There's only two that we've had to spend an exorbitant amount of money, and the total amount of money we spent for both was only $70, and that was for Marth and for Rosalina.
I just heard that they're planning on doing a reprint of Marth.
Yeah, second print of Marth. I think he's going to have a slightly different either pose or card. So that they can tell the difference. I know that actually when I just went and picked up the most recent wave, which was Sonic, Mega Man, King Dedede, and Ike, that I was told, I went in to GameStop and they said, hey, do you want to roll your pre-orders over now? And I was like, I'm not, why would I roll over my pre-orders for my amiibos? I want them. And they're like, oh, well, you've got more than one pre-ordered, right? And I was like, no, I have one of each. They're like, oh, never mind. Anybody who had more than one amiibo pre-ordered for this most recent run and then for all future runs at GameStop have to return or move their pre-order over to something else. They can't have more than one. It's one per household.
Huh.
Because they're trying to eliminate the internet poaching bullshit that's happened.
Yeah, we'll see. One thing that's also happening with amiibos is that it's not like some of these are really hard to come by, but they're not like intentionally rare. Some of these, we're having a big problem here in the States out on the West Coast with this port strike going on out there. And me working in the auto industry, it's actually sort of affecting us a little bit because we get a lot of our parts from Japan. So that's one thing. They're having, I guess, new 3DS shortages, and some amiibo shortages that just they're just sitting out in a crate waiting to be unloaded, but they're not being unloaded because of the strike. So,
ugh.
So that is what it is. I officially own two amiibos now.
Who and who?
Sonic and Mega Man.
Fuck yeah, they look awesome, huh?
They do. I'm not going to get into big amiibo collecting. I decided when they came out that was not something that I was really going to do. I was going to own probably a few of them, and that's it. And I think I'm going to try and stick to some of the iconic figures of video games. Of course, I'm a video game collector, so I'll probably get, you know, Mario, Link, probably maybe Donkey Kong.
Are you going to go for Pac-Man?
I thought about it, but I mean, I haven't decided whether or not I want to pull the trigger on Pac-Man.
NES? I mean, you love Earthbound.
Yes. I've already seen the next wave, and of course NES and Charizard also have my eye. But well, for the other two, Mario and Link, they're very common. I don't have to worry about that. But
yeah, those aren't too hard to find. And there's a website you can go to, nowinstock.net, and search specifically for amiibos, and it'll tell you what sites or different stores have the amiibo you're looking for, don't, and that way you can know. And then it's funny because if you go to the very bottom of the page, it says all models eBay. And there's a link, and you can just go and search for every model on eBay, because obviously they're going to be up there.
Yeah, I do know that some of them are going for pretty high prices. I know that Mega Man and Sonic are both going now on secondhand for about $20-25.
Damn.
So I found them. I found both of those in one night after work. I went, and I only had to go to three places. So,
hey, do you have a Walmart by you?
Yes, we do.
Do you think that Walmart would easily be able to, like, would you be easily able to get the gold Mario amiibo that's going to come out that's limited to Walmart only?
Walmart's, I don't know.
Okay.
But I tell you what, if I do happen to get my hand on one, maybe we'll talk.
Okay. If you get your hand on two, we can definitely discuss. We're going to try to hunt and get one as well. It's kind of a needle in a haystack at this point, a gold Mario.
Do you know when those are supposed to come out?
Here's the deal. This is exactly what I found out. Whatever date Mario Party launches will be the street date in Walmart for
the gold
Marios.
So,
thing is, there are only 3,000 different Walmarts getting them. And I'm not sure, you know, I don't know how many Walmarts there are in the States, you know, so I can't tell you if that's a lot or a little.
So that is March 12th when Mario Party 10 launches.
Okay.
So next Thursday.
Oh, sweet.
The Amiibo street dates are typically on Thursday.
Okay.
For stores. Now, I have noticed that my local stores, I went in on Friday and they still weren't unpacked yet, or like they didn't update it. And then on Saturday, I had gone in and then they had a whole new stuff put up. And what's funny about this is that, okay, I went into one of my local Walmarts and that's where I found Sonic, and they had four of them. And then I texted a picture to my buddy Mike, who has appeared on one of my solo casts here. Hey, you know, Walmart 26 has Sonic. He went the next day. When he got up, they were already gone.
No surprise.
And so he looked for Mega Man as well. I was able to track down both Sonic and Mega Man just going to three Walmarts. I found Sonic at the first one. I found Mega Man at the last one I went to. So it worked out pretty good, especially since that, you know, I'm not really going to get into it, and there's only a few that I wanted. And from that perspective, I can hopefully just get the ones I want and get out without getting too hooked on getting all of these.
Good call. Don't get too hooked. I'm happy we got hooked, and I'm happy we've kind of stayed ahead of the curve. Mm-hmm. The fact that we have Meta Knight and we paid the base price of $12.99 just because we pre-ordered it at Best Buy.
That's awesome.
Super awesome. Pre-ordering at GameStop has been great. They're really helpful. They call me. My King DDD, I went to pick it up. I picked it up. I look, there's a dent in the card. I'm like, hey, can you get me a better card? And they said, yeah, we're sorry. We know you're a collector. We just didn't look. And they looked and they said, this is the perfect card. Here you go.
That's awesome.
So that was nice. So one thing I also have pre-ordered at GameStop is Arkham Knight. I'm so fucking excited. Rated M for mature.
Yes,
Brando,
it is.
Are you stoked or what?
Does the bear shit in the woods?
Well, I would hope so.
It does, and this game is going to be fucking amazing. I am super hyped for it. They released the new trailer, and it really focuses a lot on kind of keying in the point that Scarecrow is sort of like the main focal point villain, or at least one of the big ones.
He's kind of the ringleader, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, and that's awesome because he was such a unique villain for the first game, and then in the second one, he was like an Easter egg.
You know, that makes me think, if you want to go back and re-answer the question of who one of the best villains in a video game was, Scarecrow is definitely up there. Those were some gnarly boss battles.
They were. I mean, and what's cool about that is that those battles kind of changed up the gameplay a little bit.
Exactly. They really did. I mean,
the gameplay of the offshoot game they did for Batman Blackgate. that came out on the 3DS and PS Vita, and I think it came out for the other systems as well for a port. But that's like a more of a 2.5D beat 'em up, and that when I was playing that, I felt like I was playing the Scarecrow parts almost, just a little bit more refined. But I'm really excited. The game did get an M rating, and they're sticking with it, and that makes me so excited because that means that they're standing firm into the story that they want to tell. One of the main directors for the game, I want to say, said that, you know, he's not going to sacrifice that for his story. They didn't look at getting any rating, and they've never done that for any other game that they've made. They just wanted to tell the story that they wanted to tell. Just so happens this gets an M rating. There's not going to be any excessive blood or language or anything like that. This is just...
No boobies.
Yeah, no. It's there's going to be some kind of dark, heavy scenes in that, and those scenes gave this game an M rating. And so I read the article on it, and he said that he had a conversation with one of the guys at WB Media, whatever the name of that their video game company is. Mm-hmm. I think that's the name of it. But he called him, and he asked him, what do you want to do? And that's awesome that they have enough faith in Rocksteady to tell the story that they want to tell, to know that with this game getting an M rating, it's going to not be readily available in the hands of kids. They're going to have an adult to get it. Some stores may not even carry it based on that rating alone. And then you are going to have issues with Australia. Australia is usually very nitpicky about their M-rated games. They don't like getting M-rated games at all. And so for them to be able to say, we're going to not change this game to appeal to the mass market. We're going to tell this story the same way that we have intended to tell it the entire time. And that's the end of it. That has me excited about where this game is going.
Absolutely. To quote the trailer, and it just raises the hair on my arms every time, Batman, if you're listening, you've already lost. God, Scarecrow, how awesome.
Yes, there's this. I'm really excited, and was it June 2nd is when it comes out, isn't it?
Yeah, and there was little Easter eggs hidden. There were little codes that people figured out were riddles, and the riddles kind of led back to figuring out certain things that were said or important places in the Batman series. That when you go to the Batman Arkham Knight website, if you type in these certain keywords, it'll bring up a character profile for a person of interest. And the three that came from this trailer were Harley Quinn, Poison Ivy, and Scarecrow himself. So pretty awesome. It was cool to check out. I watched the trailer, and then I saw this article that was talking about the code, and I was like, oh, what's that? So then I clicked it, and then I went and tried them out, and it was pretty neat. Get a little bit of a sneak peek, behind-the-scenes look at these characters before you see them in the game.
Sweet. Oh, yeah, I'm really excited. I think I have the limited edition or collector's edition.
With the statue.
Yeah, the statue, but not the Batmobile. Because that thing sold out in like 2 seconds. But
I fucking hate it. I wanted it so badly.
You and me both, man.
Ugh. Dickheaded poachers. All right, Brando, I was going to go on a rant here and talk about me being angry at PlayStation, but you know what? Quite frankly, I don't give a damn. It sucks. It's stupid. I'll buy PlayStation Plus and fucking play with my friends. It's not worth it to get that upset about.
Okay, but for just a second, you weren't aware that you needed Plus to play with your friends?
No, because, I mean, PlayStation 3 didn't have to have Plus to play with your friends. So I just assumed that they were going to be user-friendly, kind of like how Nintendo is. You don't have to have a subscription, anything to play.
Okay. The only thing that you need Plus for is to play with your friends.
That's so stupid.
Basically, during the announcement back in 2013, at the announcement, they revealed that, the system is not going to have any DRM. It's going to play used games, because that whole thing with the Xbox One was still happening, and PlayStation kind of took advantage of that. So they were announcing all these new things. They were like, and it's only going to cost, $400. People are going, oh my God, this is crazy. And they said, and you're going to need Plus to play with your friends. And people went, we don't care. Because at that point, while the PS3 is still free to play with your friends online if you have a PS3, they were making the change for the subscription service to, if you wanted to interact with your friends, barring some games. I think DC Universe you can play without the subscription. There may be a couple other ones as well, that I think ones that maybe make you already have a subscription. Like, I don't know for certain on this one, but like Final Fantasy 14 makes you have a subscription, and then maybe a few others. Like,
I think you have to actually buy a secondary in-game subscription for 14 too.
Well, see, for 14 you do there is a subscription for 14, but I don't know if you need to have Plus for that as well, because they were saying that they were going to work with people who already are paying a subscription.
Oh.
So if you're already paying the subscription to Square to play 14, I don't know if that's true for 14, so please don't quote me on that. But I do know that, especially, I do know that DC Universe is this way, that you do not need Plus to play on that game. And because, I mean, that game is free now, but it used to be subscription only. And so they were then we have Elder Scrolls Online coming out. That's a subscription base. I know that one, you don't need PS Plus to play that. But to play any conventional multiplayer, you do need Plus. And I've been a Plus member for quite a while, so it was never a deal. I know that a lot of people switched over from the 360, it wasn't a big deal because they've been paying Xbox Live for, you know, forever, for eons. So it pretty much has become the norm. And in the middle of all that positivity, Sony kind of just slipped that one in, and people at that point didn't care, because at least they were going to be able to get a system that on every other level was just like the system that they had wanted or had, not the Matrix Xbox is what I call it, the version of the Xbox One that we were going to get under his leadership that was horrible on all fronts.
Yeah, totally.
So yeah, it's unfortunate, but what'd it do?
No idea. So, Brandon, we're going to try this thing here.
it's kind of funny because you almost have already done this in this show already with the Mickey Mouse thing. But no, okay, so at work, me and Nick kind of came up with this idea. And maybe we can have this kind of be a recurring theme or something going on. And that's... we were kind of making fun of and just enjoying the way that Bane talks in The Dark Knight Rises. He kind of has like this Sean Connery appeal to him, but it sounds like Sean Connery's talking into a cup, right? So I have a cup, and basically these are called Baneisms, you know, kind of like Bushisms, right? But basically the idea is that we can take popular sayings, movie sayings, television, just whatever, you know, and say them like Bane and just laugh at the hilarity of it.
Yeah, and I think at some point we're going to maybe take this a step further. Brandon and I have talked about kind of incorporating this into a dice rolling game where there are certain categories of characters to take voices from, and then there are certain categories of movie or TV that we're going to, you know, pick lines from and then do our bits. So for this one, Brandon, I'm just going to let you start doing a couple, and then I'm going to jump in when I find one that... is going to be really good.
Okay, so this is Bane telling an analogy from George W. Bush. So let's see how this goes.
We have a saying down in Texas: "Fool me once, shame on you. But you fool me, you're not going to fool me again."
That was awesome.
All right. Okay, so this one is Austin Powers getting his penis enlarger pump.
Yes.
That sort of thing isn't my bag, baby.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
All right. So this one is one of my favorite ones that I've done so far. And this one actually could be done. There's a really good scene in The Dark Knight Rises where Bane destroys Batman. And it's pretty much the iconic scene of him, you know, breaking Batman's back. He doesn't really break his back in the film, but it's a harken back to the comics where Bane just destroys him. And all throughout this fight, he's like just beating him up. And he's just like doing it nonchalantly, just talking to him, taunting him, right? So you can have him say this. You can. It's the "I am the danger" scene from Breaking Bad. But you can sort of make it work within the scene, you know? Like,
you think you're in danger, Bruce? I am the danger.
And of course, you know, Bane has his back to him, right? So Batman walks in and goes, "Who are you?" He's like,
"You know who I am."
He's like, "You're Bane."
"You're goddamn right, Mr. Wayne."
Oh, I love it. Okay, so I'm going to try one.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, so this is Yoda doing Jules Winfield from Pulp Fiction. I got to try to do this without laughing. Okay, here we go.
"Again? Say what? Again? Say what? Dare you, I do. Motherfucker, I double dare you. What? Again, you will say one more goddamn time."
All right, dude, I got another one from Pulp Fiction.
Okay.
Again, as Bane, because I have the cup.
"You feel that, do you? That's pride fucking with you."
Yes! Oh, that's awesome, Marcellus Wallace.
Oh, I want to do more, but there's a potential for some trouble with some language barriers that I don't really want to go to right now. Maybe in a more private setting.
It's okay. We'll continue to play around with this game. I think this is going to make for something pretty epic. I don't know what's on the landscape in the next couple weeks, Brando. I know that we can go ahead and tell them right now that we have an action-packed March.
Oh, yes.
Really, it won't ramp up until the last couple days there of March, but there's going to be a lot of action happening.
There's a lot going on for those 2 days at the end of March.
What we're trying to plan, Brando and I have discussed, we might do a post Hall of Fame, WWE Hall of Fame award show, and then we might, and hopefully we'll most definitely be able to do a post WrestleMania 31 show. All on the same weekend, release on each day, respectively. So a lot of content coming up. We're going to be working a lot on our YouTube channel where you can check Brando out. Just go on YouTube, search for Journey Into Comics. Instagram, at Journey Into Comics. On Twitter, at JIC Podcast. Facebook, you can check us out at Journey Into Comics Podcast. Check us out at Podbean, journeyintocomics.podbean.com. That's where you can actually listen to this. We are on iTunes, correct, Brando?
Yes, we are, pal. And if you're listening to us, sir, do us a favor and subscribe. That way you always get the new episodes, man, right when they go up.
Yeah, and if you get a chance, like, comment or like our, you know, rate us 5 stars or whatever. I don't know if we even have any stars, but doesn't matter.
Actually, I think we do have one rating, but I haven't checked it in a while.
Yes! Awesome for ratings. I don't even know how to check that. So anyways, check us out on the stuff and things. We're going to be trying to stay real busy for you folks. We did take a little bit of a vacation. I happened to be in Vegas. It was a good time. Brando, I think we're wrapping already on this episode.
I think that's it, man. I think we've kind of exhausted our topics. We have a good kind of a rounded show with a bunch of different things to talk about. We didn't talk about too much. We didn't talk about not enough.
So what else is on the horizon? Are we going to get a Brando cast next, or is the next cast a Nate cast?
Well, you know, last thing I knew is that you were supposed to put out an episode last week as a Nate cast.
Well, yeah, and then I had to try to sleep before I got on a plane, so.
You know, and man, I tell you what, and that's okay. If I'd have known that you weren't going to do that, I would have done a Brando cast last week, but it's all cool. But if you definitely want to take that next week, and then we'll kind of reconvene for the weekend after, and then the weekend after that will be a Brando cast, which is like, I guess, March 21st will be a Brando cast.
And then we'll run right back into it for our big, long-winded WrestleMania weekend.
Yep.
Lots of content.
There's also something else big happening on WrestleMania night as well.
Go on.
It's the Walking Dead season finale.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's hardcore parkour.
Yeah. March 29th. And well, because I thought that that's what it was. And I looked it up and I was right. March 29th is the 90-minute finale for season 5.
Doesn't that figure? Isn't that ironic, and don't you think?
And I read the names of the episodes going forward.
Was that a mistake?
A little bit.
Uh-oh.
It doesn't ruin anything. Tonight's episode's name was Remember.
Okay.
The next week's episode is Forget.
Okay.
Then the March 15th episode is Spend.
Okay.
March 22nd's episode is named Try.
Okay.
And the season finale is called Conquer.
Huh. Okay.
So I guess we'll just take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah, we'll just see where it goes from here, yep. Man. That's going to be intense. A lot of stuff happening, but here at Journey into Comics, we're going to try to keep everybody on the level. Again, check us out on all our different places and things. Until next time, I'm Nate.
I'm Brando.
And this is Journey into Comics.
Peace out, guys.